做个祷告。哈利路亚，亲爱的父，谢谢您啊，继续带领我们查考您的话语。父啊，求您把您的话语解开给我们听，求您的灵运行在我们当中，带领我们，开我们的心，开我们的眼，让我们认识您的大能，认识您的大爱，认识您是我们在天上的父。父啊，谢谢您啊，求您祝福我们接下来的时间，奉主耶稣基督的圣名，阿门。
So here we have the Lord Jesus now brought before the high priest.
现在我们看见呢，耶稣就被带到那个大祭司面前去了。
I'd like you to turn with me though, because there were actually two trials that night.
所以我要让大家我们一起带到这个场景里，当天晚上是有两个的审判。
Or rather, there was one trial during the night and another trial in the morning.
一个在午夜，一个在清早。
That is before he was handed over to the Gentiles.
这个是在他被交到外邦人手之前的两个事情。
So turn with me to John chapter 18.
那我们先看约翰的十八章，我们这个细节四个。数上实际上四个福音书都有，所以我们有时候会串起来看。
And verse 12.
十八章的十二节，约翰福音十八章十二节。就这本蓝本的圣经的198页。新约198页。
Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for the people.
十二节，那对兵和千夫长并犹太人的差役就拿住耶稣，把他捆绑了，先带到亚纳面前。因为亚纳是本年做大祭司该亚法的岳父，这该亚法就是从前向犹太人发议论说一个人替百姓死是有益的那位。
So here we have the two names, Annas and Caiaphas.
所以这里我们有两个名字出来了，一个亚纳，一个该亚法。
They're related because Annas was the father-in-law of Caiaphas.
他们其实是亲戚，因为亚纳是该亚法的岳父。
Now to understand what this means and what it meant for the Lord Jesus, we have to go into the history a little bit.
我们要理解这里的意思呢，我们要回到历史上稍微讲一点历史。
First of all, the scriptures talk about the high priest.
首先呢，圣经提到了大祭司这个角色。
And you remember Moses when he was instructed to build the tabernacle in the wilderness.He appointed God appointed Moses' brother, his older brother, as the high priest.
我们都记得，在旷野的时候，摩西带领以色列人在旷野，上帝就给了他命令去造那个会幕，然后呢，同时呢，指定了摩西的哥哥亚伦作为大祭司。
And so the high priest, was over the other priests that operated in the tabernacle.
所以，祭司就是服侍会幕的一群人，大祭司就是所有祭司的头。
And of course, later when the temples were built.
然后在无论是在当时建造会幕以及会幕建造完之后的服侍，都是祭司在管。
They were in charge of all the sacrifices that allowed the people.To be able to remain in the presence of God.
所以祭司主要的职责就是在会幕面前呢献所有的牺牲，献这个牛羊，来帮助整个以色列人呢，恢复跟神的关系，就他们的悔改，他们的献各种罪的祭，来帮助他们回到神面前。
It was the high priest on the Day of Atonement.That offered the sin offering for his own sins and for the sins of the people.
所以，比方说，在赎罪日，这是以色列的一个节期，这是大祭司的责任，要为自己、为所有的以色列人来献上赎罪的祭给上帝。
A priest is someone who acts on behalf of someone else for God.
所以祭司就是一个人代表整个其他的一群人站在他们的位置上代表他们向上帝来献祭。
When the people wanted to offer a sacrifice, they offered it through the priesthood.
当一个人愿意向上帝献祭的时候他必须通过祭司来献祭。
And of course, I look forward to the time when the Lord Jesus, as our great high priest,
当然这就是一个预表直接指向了耶稣基督他成为我他是我们真正属灵的大祭司。
He offered an offering as priest. He offered himself as the sacrifice. But it was he as priest offered himself to God.
他本身他是一个祭物因为他是那只羊他是献在十字架上的祭物同时他又是那个大祭司他把自己献上他为我们献上这个祭物来赎我们的罪。
So not only we read about the Lord Jesus that he was the go-between or mediator between God and man.
然后这时候呢他就会成为我们和神之间的中保他来代表我们来向神祈求。
So now it's, we see in a sense, we see the earthly priesthood and we see God's priest standing opposite one another here.
所以这里呢我们就看见一个属地的祭司的体系和神的祭司他们是相对立的。
The priesthood, the earthly priesthood of Aaron, it was transferred from father to son.
这样的我们先看这个属地的这个祭司体系就是亚伦的后裔他是怎么样传呢他是父亲传给儿子的这么传。
So if the high priest died, then the priesthood would fall to his eldest son if he qualified in other ways.
所以当大祭司死了以后呢这个职位就传给了他的长子如果他是和其他的要求的。
And so that's why you have the genealogies represented in the scriptures, because it gives a succession of the various high priests all down through the years.
这就是为什么我们在圣经里看见一个单独的有一个家谱就是单独大祭司的这个家谱是一代一代传下来。
Now, as time went on, the priesthood, oftentimes, they were not good.
然后随着时间的推移到后面呢，这些个祭司阶层就比较败坏。
And they failed the people.
然后他没有能够帮助他们的人民。
Now they offered to God things that were not perfect.
他们把一些不好的东西献给上帝。
But apart from all that, this succession of priesthood up to the day of the Lord Jesus, the time of the Lord Jesus, we find two names here.
然后呢，甚至不但是有这个呢，我发现在这种所谓的大祭司这个职分到这个时代呢，还有两个名字了。
So we find
两个人名。
That the Lord is going to be has to be taken to the high priest. First of all, he's taken at midnight to Annas, and then in the morning to Caiaphas.
所以当主被带给大祭司面前的时候呢，他被带去了两个地方，午夜的时候带到亚纳那里去，到一清早又带到该亚法那里去。
That's as you piece the whole story together.
这就是你把一个个故事串起来的这个原因，这个线条。
And the reason for this is
原因就是呢
is very simple.
非常简单。
The priesthood often stood in opposition to the Gentile authorities.
因为祭司阶层在当时常常会反抗外邦人的这个压制。站在对立面，站在外邦人对立面。
The priests wanted power over the people.
因为祭司城他自己想统治犹太人。
And the Romans, they wielded or they had the real power.
但是罗马人才是真正的那个殖民者，他们才有那个真正的权力。
So down through the years, there was conflict between the rulers of Israel, the priests, the religious rulers, and the Jews and the Romans.
所以随着时间的推移。他们这两拨人总是会有很强的矛盾和冲突，就是大祭司的阶层和罗马人真正的殖民阶层。
And so if one priest lived for many years, they built up, they could build up a company of followers.
所以当一个大祭司他如果一直待了，他活很久的话呢，他一定会在他的这个犹太人里面，他会建立起非常强的一群跟随者。
And the Romans saw the danger of this. So what they said, by Roman law, there had to be elected a new high priest each year, a different one.
所以罗马人看见这个危险，所以他说按照罗马法律，你们必须要隔一段时间再选一个新的大祭司出来。
So that it was, they couldn't consolidate the power in one person.
然后他这样的话就不会让所有的权力集中在一个人身上。
But, the Romans didn't realize how sly these Jews really were.
所以但是罗马人没有意识到这犹太人是何等的狡猾。
You see, Annas was the, high priest one year, and he had a large family.
然后呢你看亚纳是某一年的大祭司但他有一个家族。
And, some years Annas's sons were high priests, and next years his son-in-laws were high priests, and it just went around in a circle.
然后他是换了但是某一年是亚纳某一年他儿子某一年他女婿反正就在这圈子里转悠。
And so, don't forget, it was the high priests that operated the monopoly in the temple that bought and sold, had the money changers. They ran the temple commercial enterprise.
所以你别忘了一个重要的细节是大祭司阶层控制了整个圣殿的背后的经济链条。所以这就是主当时推掉那个圣殿那个卖牛羊的那些谁控制这个卖牛羊的那些东西呢就是大祭司的这个阶层。
They had no competition.
这个是垄断的它是没有竞争的就是他说了算这圣殿是他的。
And so, it was Caiaphas, who was that year, he was, the high priest that year.
所以该亚法是那一年的大祭司。是本年做大祭司
yes,
这就是为什么说本年做大祭司。
Verse 13.
这是13节说。
They brought him first to Annas,who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year.
所以13节的时候他带到亚纳面前因为亚纳是本年做大祭司盖亚法的岳父。
But why did they bring him to Annas?
为什么他先带到亚纳那去呢?
Because he was the real power behind this whole thing.
因为他才是那个最后说话算数的这反正风水轮流做但最后有一个老大。
He was the mafia, the temple mafia head.
他是圣殿的那个黑社会老大。圣殿的这个对。
Yes. And, so they brought him to Annas, because Annas was the boss.
因为亚纳是那个真正的老板。
He ruled behind the scenes.
他是在幕后控制所有这个。
And so, they brought him to Annas. This is now about midnight.
他先带到亚纳那里去。然后这个时候是午夜的时候。
And then, go over to verse 24 after there had been the high priest's questions. Verse 24, after Annas was finished with him, he sent him still bound to Caiaphas.
然后同样是约翰福音18章我们往后看看到24节那里写到呢亚纳就把耶稣解到大祭司该亚法那里人是捆着解去的。
Yes, so, Annas,is the real power behind the priesthood.
所以亚纳是那个祭司阶层最后呢真正的掌权的。
That family was extremely wealthy because of the temple trade.
所以这个家族是极其的富有因为他在圣殿做生意的这个背景。
And you remember when the Lord Jesus cleansed the temple, he overthrew the money changers' tables, and he drove out those that were buying and selling.
你还记得耶稣在圣殿里，他把整个对银钱的桌子全部掀翻了，然后用绳子做鞭子，把那些卖牛羊的全赶出去了。
He said, "You've made my father's house a house of robbers."
他说你使我父的殿成为贼窝了。
It's strange that the Pharisees and the priests how they despised.The tax collectors.
所以你会发现很奇怪那些个大祭司啊他们如此藐视那些税吏。
Working with the Romans.
因为税吏是替罗马人做事的。
When they themselves were robbers of the people, are robbers of God himself.
但是他们却自己却是一样的抢夺人民的钱甚至抢夺神的钱。
And so, when Jesus is taken now by this crowd, they were temple priests, the temple guards, they were all Jews. There were no we don't read about Romans being involved in the arrest of Jesus.
所以当耶稣被带去的时候呢，整个抓他的人全部都是圣殿的守卫，是犹太人的大祭司的兵丁。这个时候外邦人罗马人根本还没有牵涉进来。
And so, they bring him first of all before the real power in Israel, Annas.
所以他们第一先把耶稣带到那个幕后最大的大老板那里去，亚纳那里去。
Now Luke passes over that very quickly.
路加在这里很快就过了这一段。
He's interested in the effect upon, especially upon Peter, which we've had a look at.
路加记述重点比较多的第一是彼得的内容，这个我们已经看到了。
But let's turn to Mark, because Mark gives us what happened when he comes into the courtyard, or comes into the apartments, or build the house of Annas.
然后马可福音记述在亚纳这里审判的这一段的记述都比较详细啊。因为路加在这里就记述比较简单的。Mark 14, right?
Mark 14, yes. Now,
马可十四章。
This whole trial was just a mockery.
所以整个审判其实就是一个嘲弄啊，对神主的嘲弄。
In no way was this trial about the truth.
这个整个审判其实完全不关乎真理，没有见证，没有真实的东西在。
The high priest was not looking to find out the truth here.
因为大祭司并没有兴趣在这里真的是去审判真理，去找出真理。
The verdict had already been settled on, and the sentence had already been passed.
所以那些见证，那些审判其实老早就已经定好了的。
We read in the verse 1 of chapter 14.
从14章的一节开始啊，就是91页，新约的91页。
You want to read that in Mandarin, please?
Now the Passover?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 1, right?
Yeah, just verse 1.
14章的第一节哈，他说过两天是逾越节，又是除教节，祭司长和文士想法子怎么用诡计捉拿耶稣杀他。
And then verse 2, read verse 2. Yeah.
然后只是说当节的日子不可，恐怕百姓生乱。
So there was their idea, was to kill him.
所以他们的想法一开始就已经定好了，就是要杀了他。其实也没什么需要审判的。
They wanted to get rid of him.
他们就是想除掉耶稣。
As Luke says.
就像路加讲的一样。
Some way to get rid of him. So when they finally got him, apart from the crowds, they quickly wanted to find out what kind of charge that they could bring against him in order that he might be executed. You see I'll let you see.
Yeah. 所以当他们最终抓到他的时候呢，其实他们并不关心这个审判的事，他只是想怎么找个理由把他杀了。其实他们的目的已经定好了。
See, as Rome would not allow the Jews to execute anyone without being tried under Roman law.
因为罗马人呢，当时的真正的这个殖民者，他不允许犹太人，按照自己的方法，不经过审判，不经过罗马法律的定罪，就直接乱杀人，这是不可以的。
So the chief priest's hands were tied in a sense.
所以呢，大祭司的手呢，其实并不是特别自由的，他某种程度是被捆住，他不是能够按照他想的去做的。
What they would have to do, they'd have to be able to find some charge against.The Lord Jesus, that would convince the Gentile judge Pilate that he was guilty of death.
所以他们要做的呢，他们要找到一些控告，来控告耶稣。这样的话，他们能把这个控告呈给比拉多，就是当时的外邦罗马的统治者，在犹太地的统治者。这样的话呢，由比拉多去定那个耶稣的罪。
And of course, they didn't find anything, and they couldn't convince Pilate to execute him. Pilate said 3 times, "I find no fault in this man worthy of death."
所以事实上呢，他们根本找不到任何理由啊，所以比拉多也找不到耶稣有任何被定罪的理由。所以比拉多说了三次，他说我在这里面，这个人那里查不出任何的罪来。
But it wasn't for lack of trying on the priest's part.
但是这个的确他们会会从祭司的角度，他们会先去审判耶稣。
Other things that we might look at here.
然后其他的时候我们可以先看一下。
This meeting, this trial at night by the high priest Annas was illegal.
第一件呢，我们要知道那天晚上亚纳的审判其实是非法的。
It was illegal under Jewish law.
从犹太人的律法也是非法的。
First of all, the council, it's called the Sanhedrin. You know, did you ever use the word Sanhedrin? The 70?
Oh, okay.
Okay, it was called the Council of Jews.
There's 70
elders. They're made up of elders and priests. And Pharisees, Sadducees, all the leading people of Israel.
犹太人当时有一个统治的这个机构，只有70个长老、祭司，这个法利赛人，他们民众选出来的70个，有点像议会一样，由这个机构来统治犹太人。
So there were 70 in all.
一共是70个人。
And now a number of them were in the garden to arrest the Lord Jesus.
当中有一部分呢，其实就是去了克西马尼园去抓耶稣的那部分人。
Not the whole council, but a number of them.
不是所有议会的人，是当中的一部分。
So that they would be ready then to go into an immediate council in the house of Anna.
所以他们会立刻就能够进到亚纳的家里啊，因为他本来去抓的就到亚纳家去。
But one of the rules was that this council was not to meet at night.
但是呢，有一个规矩呢，就是这个议会它不是晚上会可以开会的。
Another rule was that it was never to meet during one of the Jewish festivals.
然后呢，另外一个规矩呢是不能在一个犹太人的节期去举行这个议会。
And of course, this is one of the greatest ones, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. There were 3 festivals all in that one week.
但事实上呢，这个从那一天开始，它是一整个星期是犹太人是有三个大的节日，就是逾越节、除酵节哈。
Yes, and then the last thing is that a death sentence.If someone is appointed to death, it could not be carried out till the next day. They had to wait a day until new evidence might come in or somebody appeal on their behalf.
然后同时呢，他们还有一个就是死刑的这个判决呢，必须要等，要不能在当天就执行，因为他要等，也许有一些新的证据出来和他原来的审判是相冲突的，所以他不能定了罪马上就去杀人。
But they had already determined the verdict.
但事实上，他们已经决定了，他心里已经决定了这个审判。
All they needed now was a reason.
他们只需要一个原因，一个理由而已，一个借口而已。
And so they're going to examine him.
所以这时候，其实那些个规矩对他们已经没有意义了。他只要去考察一下耶稣。
So let's read from verse 55.
然后我们从14章的55节开始往下读。
We notice that just before that we read verse 54. Let's read from verse 53 down to verse 65. Mark 14, 53 to 65. We could read around the table. Maybe we could read.
Okay. Yeah. 我们大家都看一下，就马可福音的14章。那53节到65节，我们接着刚才的顺序是怎么读，停在谁那儿？大家找一找，都找到了，我们就可以顺序往下读。对， 93页新约的93页53到65
他们把耶稣带到大祭司那里又有众祭司长和长老并文士都来和大祭司一同聚集彼得远远地跟着耶稣一直进入大祭司的院里和差役一起一同坐在火光里烤火
祭司长和全公会寻找见证控告耶稣要致死他却行不着因为有好些人做假见证告他只是他们的见证各不相合
又有几个人站起来说做假见证告他说
我们
又有几个人站起来说、哦、我们听见他说我要轰毁这人手所造的殿三日内定造一座不是人手所造的
他们就是这么做见证的也是各不相同
大祭司起来站在中间问耶稣说你什么都不回答吗这些人做见证告你的是什么吗
耶稣切不作声什么也不回答 大祭司又问他你是从哪受称颂者的儿子基督吗
耶稣说我是你们必看见人子坐在那全能者的右边驾着天上的云降临
大祭司就撕开衣服说我们何必再用见证人呢
你们已经听见他说这僭越的话了你们的意见如何他们都定他该死的罪
就有人吐唾沫在他脸上又蒙着他的脸用拳头打他对他说你说预言吧差役接过他来用手掌打他
OK.
So now we see there in verse 56, or verse 55.
然后我们看见55节这里。
There the chief priest says, and the whole Sanhedrin, there's that word that is meaning the 70.
所以整个祭司长和全公会，所以我们刚才讲的那个70个人的就是公会。
And their purposes are spelled out here plainly.
这个目的其实已经讲得非常清楚。
They were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death.
所以他们的目的就是要找见证控告耶稣要致死他。
But they couldn't find any.
但却找不到。
Verse 56, many testified falsely against him, but their statements didn't agree.
他们有好些人做假见证告他但只是他们的见证各有不相合。
I wouldn't like to be in that room that time.
我其实挺想自己也在那个房间里啊那天晚上。
You know, usually if you're very rich, and you can afford a Jewish lawyer, very likely you're going to get off free. You know, you read Greenspan and all these high-priced Jewish lawyers, very, very smart. And if you can afford it, and you want to get off your whatever you've done, you hire a good Jewish lawyer.
其实那个犹太人的律师极其聪明的。其实你如果足够有钱，你能请一个犹太人的律师啊，你不管做了什么事，他都能给你开脱啊。对，这些人都是非常聪明的一群人。
No, I wouldn't want to have been in that room that day with a whole bunch of Jewish lawyers examining me.
所以我不能想象啊，就那个在那天晚上是一群的犹太律师啊，就是也对着我来控告。
But the Lord Jesus was the truth.
但耶稣是真理。
And someone who lives in the truth does not need to worry about Jewish arguments.
所以在住在是真理的那一位，他其实不会担心这些犹太人的这些辩论。
He stood before them that day as the truth.
因为他本身就是在那天就是真理。
And their lies had no place.
他们的那些见证啊，那些谎言是站不住脚的。
No one could bring a charge against him.
因为没有人能够控告主。
They says, many testified falsely against him.
这里所以说很多人有假见证告他。
In another place, we read that they paid people to come and give false testimony.
然后另外的福音书的讲到一个细节，说他们是付钱给别人，让别人来做假见证。
But the problem with that is this council was so hastily, quickly brought together that the stories didn't get to match.
但是问题就是呢，这个整个公会如此急迫的想给他定罪，以至于呢，他讲一句，他讲一句都对不起来，这个故事都编不拢啊。
And so their evidence did not agree with each other.
所以这一个人讲的，另外一人讲的都对不起。
And then in verse, they were not looking for the truth. He was the truth, but they were not looking for the truth. They were looking to kill him who was the truth.
所以他虽然是真理，主虽然是真理，但是审判他的人其实并不是想寻求真理，他们只是想杀掉这位真理的主。
The devil was a liar from the beginning, it says.
恶者啊，魔鬼从一开始就是说谎。
And they proved themselves to be children of the devil himself.
所以这些人就因着这件事情证明他们是那撒谎者的后裔，撒谎者的孩子。
They sought their answers in lies.
因为他们所有的回答都是谎言。
You know, you see people on trial, and they hide behind lies, don't they?
因为在审判的人里面呢，其实他们是在谎言，他躲在谎言的背后。
And so, they are going to be condemned in that day because the truth will be opened up.
所以这些所谓在审判的位置上的人，其实他们在那天要被定罪，因为当真理显明的时候，他们自己就会被定罪。
There's going to be a coming day when the books will be all opened.
会有一日，在最后的日子会有一日，所有的书卷都会打开。
We read in the book of Revelation at the great white throne judgment.
我们会在启示录里面看见会有个白色大宝座的审判。
That every argument is going to be quiet.
所有的争论都会止息。
Because the books are going to be opened and all the evidence is going to be right there before the judge of heaven.
因为所有的书、隐藏的书、隐藏的事全部被打开，这样的话，所有的证据全摆在那真正的审判主面前。
There will be no denials in heaven.When that judgment takes place.
在那个审判里面呢，不会再有否认、矢口否认或辩护的这么需要了。
The Lord Jesus then standing before those men that were seeking to kill him. At last, we find that two false witnesses, verse 57 to 59.
所以57到59节我们看见是有几个假的见证出来了。
One of them said, we heard him say, I'll destroy this man-made temple and in 3 days build another.
有一个人说呢，
not made by man.
他说我要拆毁这人手所造的殿，三日内就另造一座不是人手所造的。
Of course, they were misquoting him, weren't they?
他完完全全是胡乱引用神的话。
They thought that it said that he did not say, I'm going to destroy this temple.
他从来没有讲过说我要毁掉这个殿。
He said, but you destroy this temple.
他说你们要毁掉这个殿。
He is speaking of his own body.
对。
The temple of the Holy Spirit.
然后他指着我们要再建的殿是指着我们身体是神的圣殿。
Turn to John chapter 2 verse 19 and we'll see that.
我们可以看一下约翰福音的二章的十九节。约翰福音二章十九节。二章十九节。
Verse 18. John chapter 2, we'll read verse 18. This is, his answer is in the demand, as a result of the demand of the Jews, to show a miraculous sign, to prove his authority.
19节是一个回答，回答是因为犹太人问他，在18节里说，你显什么神迹给我们看？
So he said, What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?
他说你们显什么神迹来证明你的权柄和权威？
What would be the great sign?
什么是最大的神迹呢？
The resurrection from the dead, wasn't it?
对，这就是从死里复活，那是最大的神迹。
Remember another occasion the Jews asked for a sign? Show us a sign, show us a miracle.
我们都记得另外一个场合里，犹太人一直问耶稣说：“你给我们显个神迹，显个神迹给我们看一下。”
He said, "The only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of the prophet Jonas."
所以耶稣回答说呢：“没有别的神迹，我唯一要显给你们的就是约拿的神迹。”
As Jonas was three days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man is going to be three days.in the heart of the earth.
所以约拿三日三夜在鱼腹里，那人子也要这样，三日三夜在地底下。
And so the Lord Jesus, in like manner here, he says, "What's the miraculous sign? The resurrection, isn't it?"
所以十九节耶稣回答说呢，这什么样的神迹是最好的？当然是复活了。
He says, "Destroy this temple."
所以他说拆毁，你们拆毁这个殿。
Meaning the temple of his own body.
这是什么？这就是他自己的身体。
And I will raise it again in three days.
然后我会在三日之后让他再建立起来。
And then he explains it in verse 20 and 21.
然后他就解释了在21和22。
The Jews replied, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in three days?"
所以犹太人便说，这殿是46年才造成的，你三日就要再建起来吗？
But the temple he had spoken of was his body.
所以耶稣说这话是以他的身体为殿。
And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said, and they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus spoke.
所以到他从死里复活以后，门徒就想起他说过这话，便信了圣经和耶稣所说的。
So someone there that day, one of the persons there that day said, "I heard him say that he's going to destroy the temple in three days. He's going to build it again."
所以有的人。当时有一个在那里听到耶稣这个话的，就控告他说：“他说他要把这个圣殿给毁了，三天以后再要把它建起来。”
They were confused about it.
他们完全不理解。
You see, they misquoted him. One would, you know, and there's back and forth, and
他们胡乱引用了这个神的话。
Even in the end, they couldn't agree.
所以，即便这样的，到最后呢，他们也是各不相合。
And so, they were getting frustrated.
然后他们有一点沮丧。
Can you imagine bringing these witnesses before Pilate, a Gentile authority, he's a trained judge.
所以你能想象把这帮乌合之众带到这个比拉多面前，比拉多是个犹太哦不那个外邦人的官哈，他是一个被训练的审判官啊，他是个当地的外邦的权柄所在。
Pilate would say to them, "Look at them. If they brought this evidence there." Pilate would say to them, "Get out of here! What are you doing?"
所以你能想象把这帮人说的话带到比拉多面前，比拉多说：“你们赶紧出去！你们在这做什么？”
You see, the Lord Jesus had not even answered them.
这里你要注意到，其实耶稣完全一句话也没有说。
It was a confusion.
就是完全他们自己把自己弄糊涂了。
These witnesses, they were contradicting one another.
然后这见证自己在互相的自相矛盾。
And so in verse 60 we read, "Then the high priest, that is Annas, stood up before them and asked Jesus, 'Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?' But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer."
所以六十节说，大祭司起来站在中间，问耶稣说：“你什么都不回答吗？这些人做见证告你的是什么呢？”耶稣却不言语，一句话也不说。
What was he to answer?
他能回答什么呢？
There no charge had been brought against him.
因为他完全是不无罪的。
Nothing that would stick. Until there was an actual charge, why would he answer?
对，而且他的确连他们自己都没有统一，到底应该怎么告他？那耶稣该怎么回答的
？Finally,
那最后
，the high priest gathers himself together.
然后大祭司自己把他自己这边的人都聚拢了。
And he dares to confront this man. He dares to confront the Lord Jesus.
然后他终于鼓起勇气啊，去面对这个耶稣基督啊，面对面面对的。
And he asks this question.
然后他问了一个问题。
And it must still be haunting that man. It must still bother him. You know.、
Yeah.
If he didn't believe, because this brings it out. He said, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?"
然后这个问题其实也是困扰这个大祭司的问题，说你是那当称颂者的儿子基督，不是
？Now that question, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" The high priest would fully know that.He was asking him whether he was the anointed one from God, the Messiah, God manifest in the flesh.
所以大祭司其实问这个问题，他非常清楚，他就是在问他是不是旧约所讲的那个基督，那个受膏者，那个道成肉身的那个神是那一位。
This was a direct question.
这是个非常直接的问题。
And there is only one answer.
只有一个答案。
The Lord Jesus says, "I am."
耶稣说我是。
I am the Blessed One.
我是那个。
I am the Anointed of the Father.
受膏者，我是神的儿子。
But then he goes on to say, "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming." On the clouds of heaven,
他说：“你们必看见人子坐在那全能者的右边，驾着天上的云降临。”
There, that's a picture from the book of Daniel.
这是但以理书的一段话。
Yes. Daniel 7, 13.Daniel 7:13, yes.
旧约的但以理七章，七章十三节。
Yeah.
七章十三节，旧约的一千四百四十五页。
It says, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, the son of man, coming."With the clouds of heaven, he approached the Ancient of Days, and was led into his presence. And he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed.
但以理书七章十三和十四节哈，旧约的一千四百四十五页，我在夜间的异象中观看，见有一位像人子的驾着天云而来，被领到亘古常在者面前，得了权柄、荣耀、国度，使各方各国各族的人都侍奉他。他的权柄是永远的，不能废去；他的国必不败坏。
Daniel was given this vision of the end times.When the Messiah would rule and reign over the earth,
所以但以理是讲的一个意象，最终的最后审判的日子，弥赛亚要来审判全地的时候要显出来的情形。
Now notice there's the in verse 13 we read there's the Son of Man, and he's coming with the clouds of heaven, and he comes to the Ancient of Days.
所以十三节我们会看见有一位像人子，他是驾着天云而来， 会领到亘古常在者面前。
Who's the ancient of these?
谁是亘古常在者呢？
Well, it's none other than God, the Creator Himself, the Almighty.
这就是神的至高神那个创造者。
We could use that as another title for God, the Ancient of Days.
我们可以用另外一个称呼来称他，就叫亘古常在者。
And notice the Son of Man now is not a created being.
你会看见这个像人子，这个人子啊，他不是一个被造物。
Because we read there that he in verse 14.
所以在十四节，对，我们可以看见
that everyone, all peoples, nations, men of every language worshipped him.
他说是各方各族各国的人都侍奉他。
Now worship only God should be worshipped.
所以只有神是配得敬拜和侍奉的。
Remember when Satan tested the Lord Jesus and tempted him in the wilderness? He said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world.
你会记得在耶稣在旷野受撒旦试探的时候，撒旦跟他说，如果你向我磕头，那我就把整个万国的荣华都赐给你。
They're mine, and I give them to whoever will worship me.
它本是属于我的这万国的荣华，我愿意给谁都可以。
The Lord Jesus said, "You shall only worship the Lord your God, and Him only will you serve."
但是耶稣回答他，用一句经文说：“你只能敬拜主你的神，只有他是配得敬拜。”
Satan was the highest created being.
撒旦是被造物当中最高的。
And if any created being would have worship, it should be Satan.
如果一切受造物当中值得被敬拜的，那应该就是撒旦。
But only God, the Supreme One, the One who made everything, is worthy of worship.
但只有神，那超越一切万有的，那创造一切万有的，那才是真正配得敬拜。
And so the Son of Man is said here is going to be worshipped by every creature.
所以这人子在这里，他要被万国万方的人都来敬拜。
So the Son of Man is recognized as God Himself.
所以这里就证明这个人子是被承认、被认作神自己。
He be God the Son.
他是圣子的身份。
And we know that He became Son of Man when He was in the incarnation, when He was born of a virgin, God became flesh.
所以人子他是当他道成肉身的时候，当他从童女怀孕而生的时候，他其实就是神到了人的这个身体里。
And so his name became Emmanuel, right?
所以他的名字叫以马内利。
Which being interpreted, we read, God with us.
这就翻译过来就是神与我们同在，以马内利。
And so the Son of Man, in Daniel is recognized is identified as God the Son pre-incarnate.
所以但以理书这里讲的这个人子其实就是被认可成为道成肉身的那个神，他本身是神，他以人的形象来。
But this prophecy of Daniel looks way to the end time.
但是这个预言，大以理书预言，它是一直指向了最后的日子。
And the time when verse 14 he says, to him the Son of Man was given authority, glory and sovereign power.
所以十四节讲到他这个人子是得了权柄、荣耀、国度。
And so when the Lord Jesus is answering the high priest, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?
所以当耶稣回答那个大祭司的问题说，你是那当称颂者的儿子基督不是？
The Lord Jesus is making a claim here to deity.
所以耶稣基督在这里他就是做了一个他神权的他神的形象的宣告。
And so that the reaction of the high priest was such what?
但是大祭司的反应是怎么样？
Verse 63
就是六十三节。
The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. You've heard the blasphemy. What do you think?
大祭司说：“那我们何必再用见证人呢？你们已经听见他这健忘的话了。你们的意见如何？”
And they all condemned him as worthy of death.
他们都定他该死的罪。
So that was the reaction of the high priest. The high priest understood what Jesus had said, that he was making a claim that he was God.
所以这大祭司他非常清楚耶稣的这个话，就是自己表达自己称呼我就是那个神。
There are some that say that Jesus never said that he was God.
所以是现在地上有很多这种说法，说耶稣从来没有说他是神。
They don't know the scriptures, these people.
因为实际上这些人他不了解圣经。
People can say anything.
因为人不了解的时候他可以说任何的事。
But Daniel tells us,
但但以理告诉我们
that none other than God the Son is going to have a dominion, he's going to have power and authority in the end days.
所以人子，但以理在那个经文里讲的，他要得着权柄、荣耀和国度。
And the Lord Jesus reminds the high priest that day.
然后耶稣基督在那一天呢提醒这个大祭司。
He says, I am the son of the blessed.
他说我就是那个人子。
And another thing the Lord Jesus said, that the son of man, God has given all judgment into the hands of the son of man.
然后上帝把所有审判的权柄全部给了人子。
So he's going to be the judge.
人子会是最终的那个审判者。
There's a coming day when the Lord Jesus is going to be the judge of all the earth.
总有未来的会有一天，耶稣会成为所有地上的万物的审判者。
Here we have Annas, who is pretending to be the judge of God, standing before the judge of the universe.
所以这里我们看见亚纳。他假装是这个真的那个审判者，却站在全地、全宇宙的真正那个审判者面前，自以为审判者。
And he's judging the prince of the universe to protect a few gold coins in his pocket.
他是为了自己来保护自己口袋里的几个金币，他来 judge， 他来审判那真正的至高者。
Someday he's going to stand before the judge. The roles are going to be reversed. There'll be no false witnesses that day.
所以有一天他自己会接受那公义的审判，这个位置会产生一个根本的调换，在那一天再不会有假见证了。
And Annas will answer for those questions that he made that day.
所以亚纳自己要去回答那天他问的那些问题。
There were many priests there that day.
那天有很多的祭司也在场。
They all condemned him. Verse 63 it says they all condemned him as worthy of death.
63节我们看见64节他说他们都定他该死的罪了。
It was unanimous.
他说没有异议，大家都一致。
But you know, I read in the book of Acts that later on there were many of the priests. They turned to the Lord.
但是我们在《使徒行传》我们后面的一卷书里，我们看见很多的祭司啊，在耶稣走了以后也信主了。
I wonder how many that night, as they looked upon that innocent man, who seemed to be at so much at peace with the world.He had the peace of his father from heaven. He looked on that peaceful brow, and they must have wondered at that one who died. And then we read that in the book of Acts, many of the priests believed afterwards.
所以，他们那天晚上在场的很多祭司，在《使徒行传》里，我们相信。当时得救的很多祭司那天晚上也在场，所以那天晚上他们是看见这个我们主的荣光的，看见他平和的那一面的，所以对他们有很大的改变。
That's a principle. God loves to save sinners.
所以神的一个不变的原则就是神是爱，神要 拯救改变一切的罪人。
There's no one else can be cleansed and made pure other than those that are guilty.
没有人会自己说我是圣洁的，那其他人是有罪的。其实我们都是一样的，在这个意义上。
Christ came into the world to save sinners.
因为主来这地上就是来救罪人。
Look at there was a young priest. His name was Paul.
有一个小的
not a priest, but a young
Pharisee
student.
Young. 有一个小年轻的法利赛人，年轻的学生，他的名字叫做扫罗。
Young Pharisee, and he was changed, wasn't he? Turned 180 degrees from.
Yeah. 事实上他最终也被改变了，就是后来的保罗。
But think of the.
完全180度的改变。
Their charge was that he blasphemed.
所以他们注意到，我们这里注意到，他们的控告就是亵渎。
What was this then that they might be condemned of? There were some, it says, not all.They all agreed to condemn him, but it says some, verse 65, some began to spit at him.
对，然后这时候呢，当64节他们定了他的这个健忘的罪了以后呢，就有人65节开始用吐唾沫在他脸上。
And they blindfolded him and struck him with their fists.
然后蒙他的脸用拳头打他。
And so, why would they have to spit on him?
为什么他们要吐唾沫在他脸上？
He was despised, Isaiah said. He was despised and rejected of men. People despised him. He said, Isaiah said, we hid our faces from him. We didn't like him. We despised him.
我们就是藐视他。以赛亚书53章讲，他说我们就是藐视他，我们就把自己的脸向他隐藏，然后我们就是轻视这个主。
And how futile it was to blindfold him and then taunt him and say, prophesy, say, who was it that hit you?
所以这是其实是很没有意义的，没有用的。就是你把他的脸蒙上，你用拳头打他，你说预言吧，这其实是对主来说不会改变他的身份。
So the Lord endured all that.
然后主是忍受了这一切。
And then,It says too, the guards took him and beat him.
然后接着呢，就差役接过他来，用手掌打他。
So after all he had endured that evening, that night, he has this beating, taunting the despised one, and he's bearing it all alone. Of course, poor old Peter's got occupied with his own problems, isn't he? Poor Peter.
那天晚上呢，主正在承受这一切，拳头那个唾沫的时候呢，其实彼得也是在承受他的这个痛苦，对吧？他在外面痛苦。
Meanwhile, what did the Lord, what carried the Lord through all this? He was a man, let's not forget.
是什么帮助带着主走过这一切？我们别忘了，他当时也是个完全的人。
His whole joy was to.Do the Father's will and to finish His work.
但他的原因就是他整个的喜乐就来自一个源头，就他想愿意执行父的旨意，完成他的计划。
That was his joy to do that.
这他喜乐的源头就是来自这里。
But not only that.
不单单这样。
It says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame."And is now sat down at the right hand of God.
对，所以他说呢，为了前面给他设的这个喜乐哈，就是这是一句经文，那他轻看了一切的羞辱，以至于上了十字架，为我们一切人的罪所死。
It says he despised the shame.
他轻看了这些羞辱啊。
Counted it as nothing.
不计较这一切的羞辱。
Because it was the joy that was set before him. What was that?
这就是他说原因，就是由他前面给他设定的那个喜乐。
It was you and I as the fruit of his travails, of his sufferings.
这就是我们就是他自己所受这一切苦难所结出来的果子。
He was looking at the end product.
他看见了那未来这个果子，这是他的喜乐。
Of his great sufferings.
这是他在那巨大的苦难当中的喜乐。
So he endured all that.Keeping in mind the Father's will and you and I.
所以他 在承受这一切的苦难当中，他记得的是父的旨意和未来我们所结的这一切的果子，这是他喜乐的源头。
Now we read
back to Luke, right?
Back to Luke, yes.
Yes. 我们回到路加。
There in verse 63, we pick up the story that we had already already brought before us in Mark 63. And if we could read
66
down to verse 71.
Yeah, from 63?
Yeah. Or, 63. And, to 23, verse 1.
Ah, 23.
63.22, 63 and
23 to 23, 1. Okay. 我们从22章的63节读到23章的1节。我再停在这呢。
我。看守耶稣的人戏弄他，打他。
又蒙着他的眼，问他说，你是先知，告诉我们打你的是谁。
他们还用许多别的话侮辱他。
天一亮，明天的众长老连祭司长带文士都聚会，把耶稣带到他们的公会里，
说，你若是基督就告诉我们。耶稣说，我若告诉你们，你们也不信，
我若问你们，你们也不回答。
从今以后，人只要坐在全能者神的右边。
他们都说，这样你是神的儿子吗？
耶稣说，
你们所说的是。
他们说，何必再用见证呢？他亲口所说的，我们都亲自听到了。
众人都起来，把耶稣解到比拉多面前。
好，你停在这。
So, this what takes place there in those verses? There, the men that were guarding Jesus. It's a shameful scene, a mockery in any court.That's supposed to be the highest court of the land.
所以我们看见这个在这么高的一个法庭里哈，那这种嘲弄其实是一种羞辱啊，这不应该有的事情。
And for the passions of man to come out so openly in hatred for God.
因为人的这个情感啊，或者是人的心理啊，就在这个对神的这个愤怒里，对耶稣的这个愤怒里，他完完全全，没节制的就表达出来了。
So now, because this trial took place in the middle of the night, it wasn't legal.
所以这个那天晚上的审判其实完全不合法的。
So now it needed.A semblance of legality. It had to be legal. It seemed to be legal.
所以他们需要一个把他这个不合法的这个非法的审判变得合法的一个过程。
So in verse 66, we read, at the daybreak then, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and teachers of the law, they met together, and Jesus was led before them.
所以天一亮的民间的众长老连祭司长带文士都聚会，把耶稣带到他们公会里。
So now it's daybreak and they can have a legal council, but of course they're going to use the evidence of the night before. And the first question that he's asked is, if you are the Christ, verse 67, they said, tell us.
所以这里他们用的还是头一天晚上半夜用的那个控告，所以他就说你是基督就告诉我们。
And then he says, if I tell you, you won't believe me.
但耶稣回答说呢，我若告诉你们，你们也不信。
And if I asked you, you would not answer.
我若问你们，你们也不回答。
You see, he could have asked them the question, when you saw me heal the men and women and demonstrate the power of the Father, are those my Father's works?
所以他很可能是问了这些问题，比方说你看见我医治人， 把人从死里复活，做一切的神迹，难道这不是从天父来的能力吗？
They wouldn't answer, would they?
然后那些控告他的人是不能回答这个问题。
They hid behind law a lies.
因为他们是在谎言里藏在那个谎言里的。
They said, you do it by Satan.
因为他们说，哎，你这个是靠鬼王赶鬼，你是靠着撒旦的能力做。
Said,But in verse 69, it says, "From now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of God."
所以六十九节说呢，他说从今以后人子要坐在神全能的右边。
See, the right hand of God is a metaphor for the full authority of God. The man at God's right hand is the one who exercises authority.
所以神全能的右边是一个代表神全部能力的那个掌权者，是神把这个能力全部委托给他的这么一位。
He was under their authority on that day.
但是那一天晚上，耶稣是在他们的权柄之下，在这恶者的权柄之下。
He's warning them that someday they will be under his authority.
他警告了这一切的人，说你有一天，这一切的人也会要在耶稣的权柄之下。
And then, the one question that they wanted to hear.
然后这里他们有一个问题，他们想要听到回答的。
Plainly from his lips.
完完全全从耶稣的嘴唇里说出来的。
Not just stated from the Old Testament prophets, of which these men didn't believe anyway.
不简简单单是从旧约的这个预言里来的，虽然这些人也不信。
Are you then the Son of God?
这样你是神的儿子吗？
He says, "You're right in saying that I am."
耶稣说你们说的是你们说的是
Then they said,
然后他说
Why do we need any more testimony?
那何必再用见证呢？
We have heard it from his own lips.
他亲口说的，我们都亲自听见了。
They understood very, very well that he was the self-proclaimed Son of God.
因为他们就非常清楚，他就是那个要来的那个弥赛亚啊，就他是亲自说的。
There's no protest. He doesn't protest the sentence that is passed.
Protest.
He doesn't contest it or he doesn't argue against it.
就他没有为这个去争辩啊，为他的这个身份去争辩，他就直接就讲我就是。
He completely now is given over to the will of the Father.
因为他完完全全把自己交在父的旨意里。
And it's amazing that what is set in motion now is the very salvation of God.
所以这里讲的其实非常有意思，就完完全全就是父的救恩了，神的救恩了。
And it's also set in motion the destruction of Satan who thought he had won the day.
而且呢，在这种什么样的情感里讲，就是撒旦以为他得胜了，撒旦以为他能够把耶稣抓起来，就是他得胜了。
It's a demonstration that God sometimes uses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty.
所以神会有时候会用这个世界的败坏，这个世界的软弱啊，去成就他自己的至高者的旨意。
And the foolish things.To overturn the wise.
所以用愚蠢的事情啊，看人看似愚蠢的事情啊，去颠覆啊，去胜过那人看似聪明的事情。
They had been plotting for weeks how to get rid of this one.
因为那些祭司们，那就已经计划了好多很长时间，想怎么样把耶稣除掉。
Finally, they had him in their power.
啊，终于他们把耶稣抓起来了。
They had the proof from his own lips.
然后他们也从耶稣口里听见了他们所想要的那个控告的证据。
Finally, they had triumph.
然后他们终于我们胜利了，我们把耶稣杀了。
But it was going to be the means where God was going to use that, overturn it, and bring forth his own plans of salvation and grace and mercy.
但这恰恰就是上帝要做成救恩，做成他最大的恩典的方法。来把这一切他们认为他们得胜的借着耶稣的死却全部翻转过来。
He brings the hatred and anger of man and turns it around and makes it for his blessing.
他把人的仇恨把它颠倒过来，变成了神的祝福。
And then it would be through death that he would destroy man's enemy.
他通过死来战胜人的最大的敌人。
That is the devil.
那就是恶者，那就是魔鬼。
And then to deliver all who were in their lifetimes under his power.
然后呢，去把一切的在属他的这个人呢，都带到他的里面来。
So we're going to look next time. We looked at his religious trial, and he was guilty. He was the Son of God.
对，我们在这里呢，看见这是一个宗教的审判啊，把他定罪了。
He was guilty as far as their court was concerned.
以他们的律法，以他们的这个法庭审判啊，来定罪耶稣是有罪。
But his was no false claim. His claim that he was the Son of God was not false, it was true.
但事实上呢，耶稣的这个 claim， 耶稣自己的声称呢，他不是一个错的，不是一个假的，他真的是神子啊。
It was man's court that was false and is going to be judged.
是人自己设立的，就大祭司设立的那个审判是假的，是他们是应该被审判的。
Next time we're going to see him brought before the civil authority.
下一次呢，我们要看见他被带到一个什么？带到人的，就是这个人的审判，就不是宗教的审判，是这个地上法律的审判。
It'll be
世俗的审判。
Yeah, it'll be in. He will be brought before judge Pilate, who was the governor of Judea. And he was the one that is represented Caesar and the whole justice system of the Roman Empire.
所以他会被带到比拉多面前。比拉多呢是犹大帝的官，他是代表整个罗马人在当地的权柄。
And remembering that God, it's God who is over all authority and over all government on the earth.
我们要记得一件事情，是上帝是超越地上一切的权柄，他是那个真正的掌权者。
So not only must Pilate answer to Caesar for any judgments, but he must answer to God.
所以对于比拉多来说，他的困境就是他不但要向凯撒负责，他更要向上帝的公义负责。
Yeah, Lord willing, we'll look at that next time.
如果主许可，我们会下周来查考这一段的经文。
Any questions?
什么问题吗？Thank you.